meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to the small team to discuss the letter to the EDPB on Thursday, the 29th of November, 2018 at 1800 UTC for 60 minutes. On this session, we have Ashley Heineman, Diana Plouffe, Kurt Pritz, Mark SV, Alan Woods, and Giorgio Salentis. And who just joined us on audio? Is that your audio, Kurt?
I believe it's mine. It's Ashley.
Oh, I think you're right, Ashley. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
We do have listed apologies from Marika for this session. If I could just please remind everyone, this call is being recorded. So please state your name before speaking, and please remember to mute when not speaking. With that, I'll turn it back over to Kurt Pritz. Please begin. And
hi, everyone.
Kurt,
thanks for joining. I think there's a little bit of a delay in my Adobe Connect, so I hope that doesn't. Yeah, see, I think there's quite a bit of delay. So if this mucks things up, maybe it'd be better to get a call out, huh? Then I'd probably hear things faster.
So sure, I'll take care of that now, Kurt.
Terry, and in the meantime, I'll start. Oh, that was pretty fast. So let's see, Ashley, Diane, Mark, Alan, and Giorgio. So thanks very much for joining this call. I really wanted to get everyone involved in this conversation that was interested in getting involved or was pushed into getting involved. And so that's why we're having two calls. So I hope to get a set of opinions across this group about how to proceed with this. And so I'd like to go around the room and discuss Howie. Hi, Amr. How you doing? Glad you could join. So first, I think, here's my call. This is Kurt. Hi, you guys. I don't know if this is better or worse, but...
Kurt, so, it seems to actually be a little better.
Okay, great. So the first thing I'd like to do, so here's how I'd kind of like to go out through the meeting. One is to have a discussion about what we think our interaction with the EDPB might be. So what's their role and how we appropriately interact with them. And then, you know, so when... the second half of the meeting might be, you know, if we decide that that's appropriate, you know, we should talk about the content of our communication, and that is what the questions might be. So kind of zoom up to the 50,000 foot level and say, you know, was the GNSO idea that we, you know, send the initial report to the EDPB, and should we be asking them questions? Was that the appropriate course at the beginning? And secondly, so what that content might be. Is that sort of agenda okay with you guys? If you differ from that, let me know. So never having done this before, assuming others had, you know, I got on the EDPB website to see what they did, and it seems like they're an advisory body to governments and not to individuals or organizations. You know, the ED, well, I'll just, we can paste this into the chat. So the website, which is the very first place to start, says it's an independent European body that contributes to consistent application of data protection rules across the European Union. So I know I can't corresponded with them twice. They're looking for consistent application of data protection rules, and we want to understand that our application of data protection rules as we understand them and how they're applied is consistent with others. So I think there's a space for us communicating with them. And I think my only other opinion is that we communicate with them as us who are, you know, we're not ICANN, we're part of the ICANN organization, but we're a new organization that's learning from rules, and to kind of make us independent from ICANN in that communication regard, in that we're not continuing the conversation that ICANN has had with them, but we're having sort of a de novo discussion. So, you know, I guess at this point, you know, I'd like to go around the room and get the opinion of others as far as what you think, you know, whether we should be communicating with this group, and if yes, how, or if not, with whom. Go ahead, Mark.
This is Mark. I do think we should be communicating with this group, but I don't think we should be schedule driven. That is to say, we know that they're meeting in a week or next week, and there's a sense of urgency to get something to them within that window. And I don't think that it should be that schedule driving us. I think we should be, you know, as we say, quality driven, as opposed to schedule driven. So I think it's valuable for us to be working on this letter now, and we can have it, and when it's done or the time is right, we can submit it, and we can update it from time to time as events change. So I'm glad we're working. I love your draft. I think it's a really great start, and I'm glad that we're working on this now, but I don't think we should feel that next week's meeting creates any sort of urgency that we have to get done in any specific time.
Thanks, Mark. Anybody else that has a better sense of the role of the Data Protection Board vis-a-vis organizations such as ICANN or organizations such as our own that are creating
a
sense of room? Go ahead, Diane.
Alan here.
Hi,
oh, Brian, sorry. Can I get the keys? No, I was just getting the
queue.
It's just on the Adobe, so it's...
Okay.
Me too.
I'll call on you. Diane, go ahead.
Thank you.
Hey, Diane, I see your little microphone making motions that you're talking, but we can't hear you. So unless, okay. Diane, is that you?
Diane,
you want to go?
Terry.
Okay.
I'll send you a quick private chat, Diane, to get a phone number. If dial out on the telephone might work better for you.
Go ahead, Stephanie.
Stephanie Perrin for the record. And as I said the other day, I don't think this is a great idea, but I'm trying to operate in good faith here. Everybody else thinks it's a good idea. I have appeared before the Article 29 Working Party on a number of in various capacities. And we have to remember that this is the new incarnation of the Article 29 Working Party, who sought to coordinate, who were responsible for making recommendations on the determinations of adequacy. The difference being that the European Data Protection Board has no more power now under the regulation, but it's basically the same people, and a very similar structure. So I think it is relevant. Very few people have appeared before the EDPB to date because it's so new. But obviously, I appeared in my official capacity in discussing the Canadian legislation. I appeared when I was working for Zero Knowledge and working on a standards project to present the work of the SEN ISSS standard for international privacy that we had developed to them, and I have met informally a number of times to explain various legislation to them. So I don't really think, first thing, I don't think it is their role to give us answers to questions that we haven't decided an answer for. By all means, once we get the answers, run it by them. But at this point, we haven't done our homework, as I said the other day. And I don't think it's productive to write to them until we have proposals. And then they can bounce those, excuse me, Mom, I have a drink of water, bounce those ideas to them. Secondly, I don't think that they would distinguish between the various arms of ICANN. If you look at it this way, imagine you're the board and you're getting, I don't know, a corporation like Hewlett-Packard coming to them.
I don't know.
From their perspective, do you really want to hear from the employee association or the labor union and the management or the European branch or the California branch? No, you don't. You want one representation from an entity. And in rare cases, I suppose they do hear different parts of an organization. The closest analogy to ICANN that I ever looked at when I was doing this, doing my dissertation, is IATA and the PNR record issue, because there were a number of different parties and stakeholders, including governments, involved in that. So you might want to have a look at the annals of the PNR fight on the Article 29 archives. That might help. I think it's like, do they care that we're not the board? Do they want to figure out who we represent? I don't think so. Thanks.
Thanks, Stephanie. So if I really distill down what you said, it's that if we contact them, we shouldn't be asking them A or B questions. We should say, here's our proposal. This is how we intend to run things. So if you want to opine on that, that's good. That would be appreciated by us. And I totally get your point about us being unable to differentiate ourselves from ICANN. I think that's well put. Let's see, where are we? Diane, are you set to go?
Let me try one more time. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I guess. Okay, great. Alan and I were discussing this topic yesterday, and it came up at the Privacy Congress as well. The fact is that, just like Ashley just happened to put in the chat just now, they are meant to give guidance. And the question is, and particularly at this time with GDPR implementation coming into force, where if we had to reach out to each different supervisory authority, it's just impractical. So this really is the place to go for answers, but the question is how to do it appropriately. And Alan, I thought, raised an excellent point in that there is an official process that you ask for guidance. And if we want the answer to be appropriately official and to feel that it has the legitimacy that we're looking for, and also to have their respect and consideration of their time, perhaps we should be going through that official process. So I'm sure Alan could speak, also wants to speak to that same,
right.
So I'll let him chime in.
Okay, great. Thanks, Diane. Go ahead, Alan.
Thank you. You can hear me fine?
Yes, thanks.
Great. I do have a bit of a dodgy connection, so forgive me if it's weird. Yes, Diane, thank you very much. And I suppose I just want to say from the outset, and thank you very much, to Kurt and to the team for that. The email that you did create, I mean, it is a lovely email, and I do applaud you on that one. I am in the camp, and obviously from the email that I sent around behalf of the CPH, But I do believe that it is premature at this point to send it through to the EPDB. Oh no, that's off to the European Data Protection Board. For the reasons that Stephanie's already pointed out, and indeed for the reason that Diana's pointed out as well. I mean, we said it. Oh, apologies, lots of people laughing. We said it in the email that specifically, I understand that the Charter does say at this particular point in time that we should probably send it to the European Data Protection Board. Once we have the interim report, but I really must caution against us doing that purely by the fact that ICANN has seemed to, in the past, they've treated them as this kind of consultancy. And as Darren said, we did talk yesterday, about this. And I mean, I will tell of the anecdote that was said at one of the other IAPP conferences in DC during the year where Helen Dixon, the Irish Data Protection Commissioner, was asked specifically about responding to ICANN letters. And her response was, I would just like to remind ICANN that I am a DPC, that is a data protection commissioner, and not a data protection consultant. Even talking to one of the other attendees of the talk that happened yesterday with Diane, Diane can say who said this, but I won't say the person, but this person spent time in the European Commission in the last few days, and they were told about the fatigue and the somewhat annoyance that was being occurring with regard to, you know, these requests that are coming through and not going through those proper channels that Diane is talking about. And I mean, I will point out specifically, and I'm sorry because I don't have it in front of me, my memory is telling me, I think it's Article 43 or is it 36? It could be one of the two anyway. And that is the prior consultation that we can do to the European Data Protection Board. And I really think that would be much more in our benefit if we could say to the European Data Protection Board, instead of presenting them with a document which presents arguments which in some places, as we all agree, are completely polar opposites, where it's a yes versus a no. And if we're presenting the European Data Protection Board saying, could you please be the arbiter in this particular instance, they're not going to receive that very well at this particular moment. I think we will be burning our political capital at this point. I think there's a lot more benefit for us to say, okay, we will take the public comment, and you never know, they may see fit to make a comment at that point. However, I do think that our capital would be better spent if at the time that we come up with a final report and we're all aiming towards getting the public comments in, having those discussions, and also at this point, I really think we need to reignite the getting of a legal counsel on this to basically be our, you know, our legal referee in this particular aspect, where we can get those indicators that we say, okay, we're probably falling down on this side or the other side, and come to a conclusion within that, that the final report will have conclusions as opposed to suggestions and disparate discussions and arguments against and for different points. And at that point, then we make our formal application. Now, it is again, like we are forcing an awful lot of this. It is a creative application of the GDPR, in the sense that a prior consultation should only occur where we have not begun to process the data yet at all. However, in this instance, I think that they would appreciate the fact that we say to them, this is our plan, not just our suggestions for the plan, but this is our plan. And could you please provide your feedback from an official point of view as opposed to I hate to say it, a pleading point of view, of please help us out on this. We're saying this is what we've come up with. Please tell us whether or not you think it is the right direction. Not whether it's right or it's wrong, but simply that it is the right direction. And I don't think we're at that point yet. Let's continue on with this public comment. Let's get the answers to the questions that we have posed. Let us then sit together in this face-to-face in Toronto. Let's be able to tease out these issues and come to a singular goal. And I mean, that's what we have to do by this process. I mean, we have to come up with a single suggestion for this. Otherwise, the process will, and I hate to use the word fail, but I mean, we need to come up with a consensus on this. And if we come to that consensus, that is the thing we send to the European Data Protection Board. We specifically cite the correct articles in this, and we say to them, we are making this application to you formally under this aspect. And they will be much more responsive to that because their hands aren't as tied as would be under a simple letter to that. Now, I mean, I was just thinking as you were talking there, Kurt, as well. I mean, there may be a compromise in this. And again, not to undo the entire work that you have done in this, but we could just say to them, please be informed that we have an interim report on this. We are nowhere near a final report on this. However, we will let you be notice of this. Don't ask them to do anything specifically. Don't ask them specific questions, but provide them with a report, give them notice of the report, and should they see fit to give a response to us and give us indicators, that is on their own behalf, that is on their own behest, and we are not the ones that are basically telling them, this is your job, do it. And I really, really think we need to avoid making that demand off them. We can drop the suggestion, but we should never, ever ask outright for that, because again, they have much more important things in their mind at this particular moment in time. As much as I'd love to think that we're the center of the universe when it comes to, you know, the DNS, we are not. We are small potatoes, really, at the end of the day for them. And I really think, again, it comes down to political, you know, capital. Let's hold it for the moment. Give them the notice that we have this interim report. Do not ask for anything specifically. And then when the time is right, that we invoke Article 30, I think it is 36, that's where my brain went, but I could be very wrong on that again. But again, the other thing I would say as well, I know the Charter does say that we should send it, but it is still permissive. It is a very strong permissive. It says we should. However, I do think that we should probably opt at this point not to, considering we haven't gotten to the point where I think we potentially could be, where they envisaged us sending it to the European Data Protection Board. So I hope that came across. And I, again, thank you, Kurt, for taking the initiative on this, but I do think it would be a mistake at this particular point in time.
Yeah, so first, I'm perfectly fine with throwing the whole thing out. So there's no need to say any part of it needs to be saved in deference to work that could be done. Second, I'm reading this. I'll get back to the queue in a second. I'm reading this Article 36, and it talks about the supervisory authority. Is that the GDPS, the General Data Protection Board supervisor, whatever that's called? I'm not sure who that is. So
no.
I'd like to learn more.
No, I'm wrong at that. Let me look at my internet browser at the moment. I'm on my phone, so I will not be listening to you, but I'll ping you in a second with it if that's okay. It's the prior consultation. I just can't remember the actual article.
Yeah, no, it's in the chat that it's Article 36, and I was just reading it, so I was trying to interpret it. I think, I fully take on board, I think everybody does what you're saying, Alan, and, you know, maybe we send them a copy of the report, maybe we don't, maybe we, you know, maybe we do some sort of consolidation of the report so it's easier for them to digest, given that they don't speak ICANN Arcania. And or something like that. I also think, you know, whether it's a permissive or not in the charter, we should communicate with the GNSO Council on this and say this is our position on it and get their acquiescence on our directions. So even if it said must and it's the wrong thing to do, we wouldn't do it. I think Georgios is next in the queue.
Yes. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, thanks, Georgios.
Yes, I would like to start by talking about what was sent the draft letter, and I would also caution about sending this as is to the board for different reasons. Also, what was said also before, but my first impression when I read some of the questions that these were questions that should be addressed in a law firm like the one that I can hire to provide legal advice in the beginning. So definitely, as they are, many of those questions are not in the maturity and nor on the business of the board to comment. So I would join what the previous speaker said. So I found some very specific, and I found also that, to be honest, that until now, maybe we have not done also our job in explaining some of the things. So if you see the board getting some things, they don't necessarily know what we are talking about when we put those questions. They don't know, for example, when we talk about performance of the contract as a legal space for the processing activity, which contract are we talking about? Is it between the registrant? Is it between the registrar and ICANN and the escrow agent? And every time, so I think we are lacking the simple message and the simple question, which is for the board, which might give us a very useful answer regarding compliance. But as they are now, the questions are more for providing legal advice that a consultant, as was mentioned, would provide, and not the board. On the substance now, I would go a little bit further, and I think that there are some bits that were not touched upon from those questions. In particular, I would go further asking CPAs on recommendation 14 regarding data processing activities and responsible parties, because this recommendation is connected with the recommendation 1 on purposes and 8 on publication and reduction. So I think for the process now of how we first, to summarize, I think we should hold a little bit, save our ammunition for something that we should use with caution, but keep the contentious points and the important points in this, that some of those are in this draft, and try to work them a little bit to present them to the board in a more mature stage, and with a much clearer question regarding the compliance and not regarding an advice. So this is what I had to say for the moment. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Georgios. I think that's in line with what others are saying. Mark, I'm going to go to Ashley next, since you've spoken once and Ashley's spoken none. And then we'll get back to you. So, Ashley, please go ahead.
Thanks, Kurt. So I think it sounds like we're getting close to a point of us all being in violent agreement, so I don't have a whole lot to provide here that's original, other than I think I'm glad to see that we're actually kind of in the same line of thinking. I don't want to take off completely the opportunity to have correspondence, whether or not it's with the DPAs collectively through the Data Protection Board or through a single one, and I don't think anybody is saying that. Again, I agree that this document is not the document to share. I think that we would look a bit immature, if for lack of a better word, because, I mean, looking at this, I think I was speaking to somebody yesterday about it, we kind of answer the questions for ourselves. I mean, the only one that really kind of stands out to me is the natural and legal person. But, again, I agree. I think it was Alan and others who said that we shouldn't be posing options to them. We need to be kind of posing to them what we think is the right path and move forward. All that being said, I do have to say this is where I'm going to sound perhaps a little negative about how we operate and work. I think part of the issue is, and I think the original hopes of at least some to have to put forward questions to the data protection authorities is because we often find ourselves in situations in this group where it's like, oh, well, the GPAs would never agree to that. And we're kind of, you know, in this, you know, the situation where we have to rely on our own interpretations of the GDPR, and they're not always the same interpretation. So I don't know if there's ways to deal with that so we don't have any further roadblocks on issues such as like whether or not organizations can be published. I don't know, not to take us too far away from the conversation at hand, but can we reengage with an actual GDPR expert entity, whether it's a law firm or otherwise, not necessarily an entity that's familiar with who is, because then we kind of get into the whole, you know, whether there's bias or not. But I think it would be helpful to kind of put some of those, even if they're lower hanging fruit arguments as to whether or not the DPAs agree with this or not, that could be another vehicle outside of trying to use the DPAs as a vehicle to address some of these questions that really aren't appropriate. So I'll stop there. Thanks.
Thanks, Stephanie. Thanks, Ashley. I like violent agreement. Mark, go ahead, please.
Thanks, this is Mark. I'm glad I went last because I have 2 points, and Alan, Ashley, and Georgios have teed them up very nicely. So the first one is I really like the idea of us having a communication with them that is aware of the interim report, and I think that the the question text that is already in there can easily be restructured instead of saying, hey, what do you think about these opportunities, you know, these things, or please answer our questions. You could just say, please take note of these particular areas within the document, give them a little bit of context, give them the line numbers and things like that. And so we're not actually asking them anything, but we're pointing to areas either where we do have questions that we're not asking, or we have concerns or something like that, and they can become aware of it. And that feels like something that we could turn around quickly. So if we did want to be a little bit schedule-driven, we could actually get that done pretty fast. The second point is I'm not so much in agreement that we can't ask them questions. I know they say they're not a consultancy, but I notice that they do seem to answer ICANN's questions. They get very snarky about it. And so, yeah, maybe that is burning some capital. But I don't think we necessarily should be afraid of asking them questions, because, as Ashley says, we do get in the situation where we're speculating what they would and what they wouldn't accept. But the way that the letter is structured right now with these questions, I think that that when we do get to the point of asking for advice, that the questions should be rephrased really in the form of a use case. So rather than saying, what do you think about performance of a contract, you could say, if a controller has a relationship with another entity who is collecting, you know what I mean? And so structure it in the form of a use case, which is not specific to who is. Now it's not a general question that they're asking for their advice on, but getting something closer to a particular implementation and saying, if we were to implement a thing like this, would that pass muster or not? And I think that would be a better way to get detailed prescriptive feedback from them. Now, maybe I'm naive. I have not worked with these people directly before, but that's the way that I would proceed once we get to that stage where we have proposals and want to get their feedback. That is all.
Thanks very much, Mark.
Kurt, can I get some kind of if we shared the initial report with these guys that I don't mean to say these guys in that majority of sense, but if we share the initial report with the board, the initial report says, you know, listen there, let's ask the data protection board this, let's ask the data protection board that. We might have to redact the initial report. So maybe we, you know, we send a summary or the summary of recommendations and questions for the community or something like that, some shortened version. And I think, Mark, that, you know, I too am of a viewpoint that, you know, I'm not adverse to asking questions. If they don't get answered, then there's no downside, you know, and even if we take someone off. But, you know, before doing that, I would listen to those that, you know, you and I do not have experience with them. So I've listened to those who do have experience with them. So I just heard, you know, Alan tell a story about, you know, comments from the data protection board member and the GNSO call earlier today. I heard Michaela Nalen tell a similar story. And so I think, you know, out of respect for them, I think that, you know, I do want to learn more about how they operate and, from people like, Stephanie and Alan who have interacted with them. And, so we understand exactly what's appropriate and not. So I think I would advocate for taking the time for that. I'd also advocate for, you know, sending them an abbreviated version of the initial report if the rest of the team thinks it's meaningful as a indicator that we're working on these issues and we're going to come back to them with, you know, our final recommendations and where we are. I'm just taking a look at the chat here. So Stephanie, I don't know if I'd work on a red line of this letter. I think it's been debunked. But, I just want to do the right thing here for us. And, as Mark said at the start, I don't want to let the timeline be the enemy of, doing something correctly and well. So,
So now where are we? So Stephanie, could you speak for a minute where you said you're working on a redline version of the letter? What's your vision for that?
Yeah, sure, Stephanie Perrin for the record. I got part way along here. Unfortunately, I printed the unredlined version, so I can't pull it up. But my version is more like a page.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, basically I've just rewritten some of the stuff that that appears on your first page. And then I would not ask for data about this. As I said in the chat a minute ago, you could say we are still pondering these imponderable questions. And then if they felt like saying something, then they could, but you're not asking them, you know? I intend to pull the ones that I think are too stupid. As I said in the chat the other day, when the RDS sent the questions it did to the data protection commissioners who came to Copenhagen, I said, these are too stupid, and we sent them anyway, and the response was, oh, my God, where? Get going, you guys. You haven't got very long before implementation, you know? So I think in our own defense, we have to pull anything that looks too immature. But there are some legitimate, really difficult issues that I think it's fair to say, hey, we're still thinking about this. On the one hand, this. On the one hand, the other. As opposed to asking them point blank, what do you think? Because they don't know. They don't know all the arcana. And trust me, you don't want them looking right now until you've got it figured out. You know? At least the contracted parties who are likely to get the fine don't want them looking right now, you know?
The other thing I would do
is if you're going to cite their letter, then be darn sure that you've done everything that was in their letter, because she had some fairly pointed advice about getting on with it, and I'm not sure that we have got on with it. Again, I printed that letter, and I'm going to put it into the redline version, whatever we've done that we can claim we've done, and not try to pretend we've done stuff that we didn't do. I sound like Rumsford here, but, you know.
So I think Ashley was kind of saying the same thing, that we're kind of trapped by some of our methods where we have a disagreement, so we decided to ask the GDPR before we really tried to get an answer to these questions.
Kurt, can I get in with you? Have a chance?
Sure.
Great. Thank you. Sorry, so Alan for the record. So I just want to be clear. I mean, again, I agree with Georgios as well. He made an exceptionally good point that, you know, in isolation, they may not understand what we have in the report. That is a very important point. But I just wanted to be clear as well that, I mean, my first preference is that we don't engage at all. At all. We don't even send them a letter, but I said from a point of compromise, and if people really, really, really wish to engage in the European Data Protection Board, I still would envisage not even a summary. I would envisage a very, very vanilla letter, i.e. to give them notice that we have published an interim report. Thank you very much. Full stop. Not to give a commentary, not to give them our interpretation of what is being said, because to be perfectly honest, the questions are already asked within the report, and if they see fit to make a comment on it, let them do it. Again, it would be presumptuous of us in any other way to do it otherwise, but I think the courtesy in that is to say, this is the interim report, full stop. I agree wholeheartedly with Stephanie that I think we're, you know, there could be a problem where we're drawing the ire, where they could come back to us and say, no, you're not listening to us at all. And I would worry about that sort of a situation, but at least I could say, well, I went into that with eyes open, giving them the notice of this report. That's not to say that they don't know it exists already. But so I just wanted to be clear on that. I would still be an advocate for a very, very vanilla statement, i.e. the report is out, full stop.
Can anybody describe a tangible benefit to communicating with them at this point? Go ahead, Ashley.
I'm not going to answer your question so much, but it's kind of in the same vein. At this point, in terms of this next week, no, I don't think see any tangible reason, but I think we've moved past that. I don't think anybody thinks we should be rushing this effort. That being said, I don't feel prepared at this point to say right now exactly what the communication should be. I'm leaning towards what Alan is articulating, but I would like, you know, now that we've kind of moved past the whole, this is so urgent, we have to do it, you know, in the next couple of days, maybe we can take a breath for a minute and figure out what is the best way. We have a couple of proposals on the table already, and perhaps we can reconvene, you know, once we've had a chance to think through those various options. Because, again, I think coming into the call, it was more of a, you know, whether or not we liked this, the current draft and whether or not it was appropriate to send at this time. And it sounds like we've come to the agreement that no, this is not the appropriate draft to send and no, this is not the appropriate time. So maybe if others agree, like even just a couple of days to think through the different options that are on the table, and then proceed from there.
Kurt, can I?
Yes, George, yes, please.
Yeah. To your question, what's the positive by contacting them? I think what we are looking for here is to save time. I think we are in a position where we still halfway or more than halfway in our exercise, and there are still contentious issues where maybe we didn't do well some of the homework we should have done, but we don't have very basic agreements on something. So I would say that by isolating some of the contentious issues, but giving them in a form that maybe what Stephanie said, some people believe that it should be this or that, and then if we have the data protection board saying that this is compliant and this is not compliant, then we might go much faster forward. That would be the benefit. But as long as we have not done the homework of presenting this in a better format than the one we have currently in the draft letter, I would go for keeping this and work it a little bit more. Yes, I'm finished.
Hi, this is Terry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Kurt,
I'm So I'm on mute telling Amr he was on mute. So Amr, please go ahead.
Thanks, Kurt. This is Amr. I was on mute. Not anymore. In terms of, you know, because I've heard several folks say we need to do our homework first, and I completely agree. I just wanted to point out that, I don't want the point that Alan made earlier on the call and that I believe Stephanie's made on a number of occasions of the EPP team seeking its own legal counsel on the issues where, especially where we have sharp disagreement. I think this is something we really need to repeat, or I need to repeat right now. I don't want it to get lost, and I think we should take this option seriously. I believe it's worked rather well on previous PDPs. And I think this is something we should certainly do prior to sending the EDPB anything at all. And in terms of, you know, what tangible benefits there may be in terms of connecting with the EDPB right now, I'm not sure I see any. There have been a number of concerns raised here on why we shouldn't. And if the objective is to get feedback from them, which in itself is not guaranteed, but to get it also in time for us to consider prior to publishing our final report, that might also be unlikely, assuming that they do send us a response at all. So I don't know what tangible benefit we might have in terms of communicating what is in our report or sending them a letter at this point right now. I just wanted that to be on the record, and I do hope we do consider the option of retaining our own legal counsel on the questions we have. Thanks.
Thanks, Homer. So I'm kind of already there, but I think I have a way forward to us that we're, you know, we've agreed to for the last half hour, but let's get through the queue and then see if we can get to an end. So please go ahead, Diane. And Diane, I just want to answer your question that the other day, you know, that part of the process is that we automatically send the Data Protection Board a copy of the report. So that's a should in our charter. But again, if it's the wrong thing to do, I think we should, we should go back to the council and say it's the wrong thing to do. But anyway, please go ahead.
Okay. Well, I mean, like I think we've all said here that sending the report is really not at all problematic. It's trying to send a letter that specifies questions that is problematic. So I think. Sending out just simply the report to keep them informed of our work, certainly there could be no downside in that. I was just going to chime in about, about the legal counsel right when Amar said the same exact thing. So this has been something that, you know, Kurt, I've been behind from day one. And then that never went forward for some reason, even though we tried to meet about it with Stephanie and we were all very serious about this as a real necessity. I know that ICANN.org has pushed back based upon, they said, budget, as well as, you know, I know that JJ told me that he's concerned that legal counsel opinions just end up in, you know, any counsel could give any opinion and what value does it actually have. But if you, look at the fact that the board has already given us advice in their letter about the tech and admin, and now we're going to be asking them almost the same question. They're going to be saying, why are you coming to us? And so all of these different questions that we have laid out in the proposed letter really are questions that I think if we could hire a very, a counsel that is considered an objective third party, it could almost like be when we bring the mediator in the room. It could be someone who just gives objective legal advice, and I think that could really help people in a tremendous way. Because right now we're at a juncture where we're tackling some difficult issues that, everyone has different opinions on, but an objective person with really depth knowledge of privacy. I mean, I know that my day-to-day practice, I am a privacy professional, but I reach out to other privacy counsel to get, to get an opinion, because these aren't always the clearest answers. And I think that we're at the point where we need just that general guidance that will help us be able to go one way or the other and make people have the confidence in those decisions that they don't have right now. So that's what I'm thinking.
Thanks very much, Diane. I'm there too. Mark, you wanna make a comment, and then I'll try to take us home.
Yes. Okay. So, it's a new hand. I think you recall that I was originally pretty ambivalent about getting our own legal counsel, at the earlier stage of the project, because I had heard that it didn't always work all that great, but it was all really expensive, and I saw that we were going to get pushback on anything that was really expensive. So I was worried that, we would spend the wrong amount of money and not get a great result. But now that we have the initial report out. And now that we're entering into the public comment, I do think that it will be practical and wise for us to reopen this topic of getting legal support, because I think, you know, when we had the mediators, that was very useful because everything was very amorphous and very far apart. I think we're in a better, you know, we're not in a great place, but we're in a much better place, and we can be more focused on it, and I think we can get a better result for a more reasonable amount of money. So I would set aside my previous ambivalence and encourage us to reopen the topic. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Mark. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Thanks, Stephanie. My first point is, I think your worst nightmare right now is that there are actually technical staff following our EPDP discussions, because when they hear some of the things that are being said, their eyes are going to roll. Really. That's your worst nightmare. Second, and that's one of the reasons I keep saying, for God's sake, can we get legal counsel in so that we could cut off these long discussions that are heading in a direction that have nothing to do with data protection law as it's interpreted anywhere. So I regard it as a real risk and a real necessity. As I said earlier, you don't get better than me and Steve Metallic agreeing on a counsel. I mean, Chris Cooner was not my favorite privacy counsel, but he absolutely knows his stuff. He wrote the textbook, and I can live with him. I don't know what went wrong with that contract, other than I suspect ICANN didn't like what it heard. We don't really know, because that kind of shut down after the RDF hired those guys. I'm sorry, I can't remember what firm he is with, but it was definitely Chris Cooner. So I would just say you got a contract. You had WS the GR, right? Thank you. You've got a previous contract. Can we not just crank that thing up and get him back? And I mean, I'm prepared to live with not liking some of what they say. I think everybody else should be prepared to also listen to that, you know, and live with it. You know, they're supposed to be neutral. It wasn't ICANN, it was RDS. It was brought in to help the RDS. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. So I'm kind of exactly where I was half an hour ago, and I think everybody on the call is in the same place. So, you know, with Ashley's advice, Stephanie, if you're redlining the letter, I think that would be a useful exercise, and for us to look at it. We might decide to chuck it over the side, or we might decide it's useful that and from what you said and others said, you know, maybe the tone of that letter is to respond to whoever wrote the previous letter to ICANN and said, get after it, and say, oh, you know, we're getting after it. We've convened this group. We're meeting, you know, several times a week and working really hard. And we've come to these preliminary conclusions, and we're going to be working over the next couple months to harden those. But we wanted to let you know that we're on this. So, so that when the final report does come out, then it's not just a surprise coming over the wall, but ICANN's been working on this thing for the past several months. So maybe a letter of that tone would be helpful for us, as that it'll pave the way to a communication that they're expecting. So that's my opinion on that, but I think that it'd be great if you do continue your red line of the letter, Stephanie, and present it in the tone I recommended, or a tone you recommend would be fine for us to look at. You know, certainly where a couple weeks ago I thought that, legal opinions were just like opinions, that everybody had one. And, but the authoritative source was the Data Protection Board. I now, you know, have come to understand that, you know, it's better for us to settle our legal issues, after having consulted with others. And
come to a decision and then, you know, propose, you know, make our final propositions to the Data Protection Board. This is our recommended solution. So we're letting you know in the event you want to opine on it. I do think, you know, even for me, I do think the legal questions we're posing are rather straightforward to answer. I think there's a difference of opinion amongst the members, but at the end of the day, most competent legal counsel will come down on the same side of these questions that we're posing. So, you know, I think it'd be beneficial to get an independent, you know, and I've thought this for a while, get an independent party to opine on them. So with that, you know, maybe again, Stephanie and Diane, let's make a proposal to ICANN with a brief statement of work. And I think that statement of work is we're going to have specific questions we want legal counsel to answer, and, you know, we'll pass them along, and then we can work on these questions that we have here and put them in a way that they understand. I'm happy with the firm that Stephanie mentioned, or I guess there's Hamilton that ICANN used before. I don't know if that's a possibility. You know, I've worked with some that, you know, in the being part of the registry business, you know, that's housed in Europe. I've worked with data protection experts too when we write our agreements to, you know, put our servers in different countries and all that sort of thing to comply. So, so I think we should do those things in parallel. So, Stephanie and Ashley, the questions need work unless you're referring to those in the report. So I don't know quite.
Is that a question to me, Kurt?
Sorry, I paused.
No, I was just saying that if we're talking about putting together questions that go to any kind of expert or legal advisor, that we need to work on those questions. I think they're more articulated in the report than they are in this document. I just want to make sure that we get all the questions correctly captured, because I don't think that they are right now in the draft that we were originally considering. Thanks.
And yeah, so let's, you know, let's let everybody go, but let's figure out a way to do that. There's going to be another call in a couple hours to discuss the same thing with a different group of people. And, you know, while I feel confident we'll get to the same conclusions, what we need to develop is a methodology for raising any additional questions and refining the ones we have. So think about you guys on this call. Think about if you want to be on a team that helps rewrite or compose those questions. So here's what I'll do. Stephanie and Diane, I'll follow up with you guys on an email. I don't think I think we want to retain legal counsel before our face-to-face. So, and I think we could pose these questions in a relatively short period of time. And, you know, while we want to be as economical as possible, the luxury is if we miss-ask the questions, we get to ask them again. So, I don't think that's a problem. So I'll write an email to Stephanie and Diane. We'll formulate a statement of work. You know, we had tacit agreement of some ICANN, the ICANN board member. Who's our ICANN board member? Not Chris, but the other board liaison. You know, we're kind of following his suggestion as far as working with legal counsel. So I think we'll have the support of the board, and Barry Cobb is on this call, so, you know, he and I will work the issue with the ICANN staff as far as finding the budget for this. Yes, Homer, thanks. So with that, you know, there's no minutes left on the call, but please raise your hand if you're dissatisfied with this outcome. So the outcome is Stephanie's going to help with a red line where
We may, you know, we'll take a look at the red line and might decide to notify the data protection board that we're, that we are working hard on these issues, and be that, our, we're going to communicate with the GNSO council that our intent is to get legal advice on these questions. And then, rather than communicate questions to the data protection board now, communicate our positions later when we get to the final report. And then see, retain, counsel to answer these questions we have, and, or convene a group to create, refine and create the question. Okay, cool. All right. Well, thanks a lot for getting on the, phone. I really appreciate the, frankness and constructive nature of the call. I think it was really good. And I appreciate everybody for getting on.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining. That does adjourn the meeting for today. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.